Hello and welcome to Social Media Ministries. My name is Spencer Kaufman. Thank you for tuning in this week. This is the sermon series finale on forgiveness. We are talking today about forgive to be forgiven. So if you haven't been with us for the last 3 weeks, I encourage you, please check out the playlist on our YouTube channel. You can see it in a card here if you're watching on YouTube. Otherwise, navigate to the YouTube channel. Find the playlist on forgiveness. In addition, share it with your friends and family by using those share icons below. I hope you're also subscribed to the channel and that you have liked the videos on YouTube as well. Please do that. Show your support for us in that way. That would be tremendous. Today, like I mentioned, we are talking about forgive to be forgiven. So we've spent a lot of time on forgiveness and what it means, what it looks like, different things that you need to do in your life, ways to apply what you have learned. Hopefully that's going well for you. If not, if you're struggling in some area, then comment below and we can pray for you. We can pray with you. Also, if it's going well, comment too. That'd be great. We'd love to hear those stories and praise God for that as well. So in our first week, we spoke about how God has the ability to forgive sins. You can forgive other people, God forgives their sins. In the same way, when you have a sin, when something happens in your life, then you need to take that to God and ask Him to forgive you for that sin. You also need to go to the person and confess to them, saying that you've wronged them, ask for them to forgive you. Then you need to go to your brothers and sisters in Christ and speak to them and get them to pray with you and for you about whatever it is you're struggling with. And that was what we talked about in the second week, was confessing your sins. Last week, we spoke about how it's so important for you to forgive because God forgave. He already forgave you. In the same way, when you're wronged, you should just instantly already be like, all right, it's okay, I forgive them. And then later, when they mature enough to come and ask you for your forgiveness, you say, yeah, I forgive you. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Learn from it so you don't go into it again and again and again, but forgive them. Why? Why is this so important? Well, it's important because if you don't, if you hold those grudges in, it's a sickness. It's a spiritual sickness that can harm your body physically, harm you mentally, and also harm those around you. We had the analogy of it's like a knife, and every time you remember that grudge or the way they wronged you, it's twisting that knife. Pull the knife out. Let it go. But when you pull it out, you say, all right, I've forgiven them. It's okay. Sometimes you still hold on to it. You're holding on to that knife. And you're like, yeah, I've let it go. They're forgiven. Meanwhile, you're harming all those around you because you refuse to let it go. Whether it's complaining to them about it. Oh, I'm just venting. It's not complaining. Talked about how you're not supposed to complain at all. No arguing, no grumbling. You can check all that out in a card up here. Watch the sermon. You could be harming them. You could be harming them with your bitterness. Unintentionally, not even knowing, but you're always cranky all the time or you're bitter. But you pulled out the knife. Your body is healing. The spiritual wound is healing, but it's still here. Let it go. Let it go. Forgive them. Let it go. And begin healing. In the same way, if you have sinned against someone else and you haven't confessed that to them or confessed it to God or confessed it to your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're holding that in. That's another spiritual sickness. You could be holding that in. You're carrying that burden alone. Confess it. Let it go. Get it out. Get your brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you. Seek forgiveness from whoever you've wronged. Get forgiveness from God for your sin. Let it go. Those spiritual sicknesses that you're harboring, that you're holding in, could manifest themselves in your body in other physical ailments, in addition to weighing down your soul and spirit. Let it go. Get it out. As if all that isn't hard enough, We're adding to it this week when we talk about how you must forgive others, not only for your own little benefit of like we just talked about, but in order for God to forgive you, you have to forgive others. You say, wait a minute, there's a condition? There's a catch? Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Dig out your Bible. Turn with me. Matthew chapter 6. I love that chapter. Verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, of course, you cannot forgive their sins directly. You forgive them for their sin against you, but then they also need to go to God and get forgiveness for their sins. Remember, who can forgive sins but God alone? If you could forgive sins, then they wouldn't need Jesus. They would need you. They need Jesus. So yes, you can forgive them, but then they also need to go to God to seek forgiveness from Him for whatever they've done wrong. So if you refuse to forgive others, if you're holding on to that sickness, God's not forgiving you. That's pretty heavy considering God's already forgiven you. He sent Jesus to die. But if you're holding on to something, you're holding on to evil. You're holding on to the refusal to forgive others, which is something God wants you to do. That in and of itself is a sin. Well, if you're constantly harboring sin, how could God forgive you? Because every time you get forgiveness, you're just sinning right again. Like, I forgive sin. It just happens so much that unless you truly let it go and stop that sin, you can't be forgiven because you're still living in sin. You need to break away from that way of life. Remember, whoever is born into Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. They are a new creation. Their old way of life should be dead. When you became a follower of Christ, you should give up those old ways. Yes, we still struggle with sin, but we don't live in sin. If you're holding on to a grudge, refusing to forgive someone, you're willingly living in sin. You're living in your old way of life. You gotta let it go. You gotta forgive them so you can also receive forgiveness in that way. If you forgive other people, God will forgive you. If you fail to forgive others and hold a grudge, God will not forgive you. It's pretty heavy, and there might be a lot of talking amongst yourselves saying, this isn't true, I'm done listening to him. No, it's true. God wants you to go to him with a clean heart. If you're holding a grudge or grasping tightly on some kind of pent-up anger towards someone, then you're only hurting yourself. You are. You're hurting yourself. You are choosing to live in a sinful nature. You're supposed to give that up when you come to Christ and let it go. We've talked about the book, The Great Divorce. It's an awesome analogy. I've used it many times, and I feel like it's a great time to use it. There's a part in there where the Spirit, he's made it on the bus. He's going, and he's trying to get into heaven. But he's got this pet lizard on his shoulder, or it doesn't matter where. He's got a pet lizard. And the angel or the other spirit or whatever you choose to call him, the ghost, is like, yeah, you can come into heaven, but that you have to get rid of that. Oh, I don't want to get rid of it. It's my friend. Nope, he can't come in. You got to get rid of it. And they go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Finally, all right, I'll get rid of it. And he's like, here, yeah, we can get rid of it. And he's, okay, yep, but now let me have it. No, I don't want you to have it. I'll just let it go. Nope. And back and forth. Okay, fine, here, you can have it. All right, let me kill it. No, don't kill it. And then again, back and forth. Finally, he says, all right, you can kill it. And he kills it, lets out a scream, all this stuff. And what does that mean? Is this some animal cruelty thing that I'm going on? No. That was his sin that he was holding on to. He was living with a sinful nature. And he said, all right, I'll let it go. Then he said, all right, I'll give it to you. And then he said, fine, you can kill it. In the same way, you could be holding on to that sinful nature. You got to let it go. Not only do you have to let it go, you got to give it to God. And then you need to let God kill it and abolish it. It says that when we confess our sins to God and seek forgiveness, He keeps no record of those wrongs. They're blotted out. He's not going to hold them against us. He's not going to use it for future ammunition. Love keeps no record of wrongs. It's done. It's gone. It's been erased. Yes, someday when you go up there, God's going to call to account all the stuff you did in your life, and you better have an answer for it, and your answer better be, Jesus paid for that, for me. And you better truly believe that. But if you're holding on to something, some refusal to forgive, you're holding on to that sinful nature. You got to let it go. You got to give it to God. He's got to kill it. The old is gone. The new has come. You need to be a new creation, born again. If you're holding on to it, you are only hurting yourself. Believe that. Ephesians 4:31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Bitterness, rage, anger. Get rid of all that. You don't need it. All that anger isn't hurting the person you are angry with. It's hurting you. That spiritual sickness, that bitterness, it's probably hurting your friends and family around you because you're just bitter. Every time they're with you, you're complaining about them. You're complaining about something you had. You're holding on to that grudge. You're refusing to let it go. They're like, man, I don't like hanging out with them anymore. All they do is talk about the way they lost their money or the way they got cheated on or the way this happened. Let it go. Let it go. Forgive them as Christ forgave you. Colossians 3:13. I think we've read this verse every week. That means you should memorize it because it is very, very important. 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. God forgave you. In order to receive that forgiveness, you got to ask for it. And you also need to let your sinful nature go. You got to let go. You got to forgive others. So if you refuse to forgive other people, even if it's only one person, you're kind of putting yourself under a curse. It's your own curse. You're separating yourself from God. You're choosing to willfully live in sin. And you're hurting yourself. You're holding on to this black, dark sickness inside of you. And it's going to eat away your soul. Let it go. And you might be saying, yeah, well, I was abused as a child, or I was abused as an adult, or I was in an abusive relationship, and that just isn't easy to let go. Of course it's not easy. I think it was easy for God to have His Son die for the person who abused you? No way. Do you think it was easy for Jesus to go through that crucifixion knowing that He was dying for that person? Or knowing that He was dying, period? Or knowing that He was going through that for everyone? Of course it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for God, wasn't easy for Jesus, it's not going to be easy for you. But guess what? Their love made it worth it. You need to have that. Obviously you're not going to love the person who wronged you, but you should. You should. And I know that might be hard to grasp, but it's a different kind of love. It's a love like a let it go. Out of love. Not because you love them and you want to serve them and please them, etc. If you can't go there, then do it out of love for God and out of love for those around you that you do love, your friends, your family. Because holding on to that is hurting yourself, and you got to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, other people might not either. God will. And you say, yeah, your parents will, they have to. Your siblings will, they have to. They don't have to. A lot of parents out there, I mean, if you went through abuse, maybe your parents didn't love you. This world is complicated. There's one thing that's simple. You got to love God. Do everything you do out of love for Him. Forgive others because you love Jesus. Because that's what He would want you to do. And then receive forgiveness yourself. If you're holding on to that, you're not allowing Him to forgive you. You're saying, yes, I want to accept that gift. I believe in you, Jesus, but I'm not willing to let go of everything. And God's like, well, if you don't completely let go of everything, you can't completely enter. You're like, I got one foot in the pool, but I'm not willing to get the other foot off the dock. Or one foot on the boat and one foot on the dock. Guess what? The boat starts to leave. You better make a commitment. You're either going to stay in sin or you're going to get on and go with God. Otherwise, you're falling in where? To the abyss. You're going to get wet. What are you going to do? Let it go. Why would you want to be right there on the dock all the time? Let go. Get on. Go with God. Let Him forgive you. He sent His Son to die for you. He wants to forgive you. Jesus wants to forgive you. He says, I died for you. What do we say all the time in real life, in this worldly life, or in movies when someone dies or gives their life? Someone always says, don't let their death be in vain. Or don't let their death be meaningless. Or what did they die for if we give up now? Jesus died for a reason. He died for you so you could be forgiven. And if you hold on to your bitterness and anger and refuse to forgive others, then you're kind of negating the reason Jesus died. Don't let that happen. He died for you. Make sure He really did. Accept it. Don't squander that gift by refusing to forgive. Forgive others and then ask God to forgive you. Now you might say, yeah, well, I've forgiven other people so many times. Is enough enough? Enough is never enough when it comes to forgiveness. Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Seven times? Thinking, seven, that's a lot. I mean, seven times. Someone wrongs you. There's a saying, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Or shame on you, shame on me, whatever it goes. But the point is, if you're fooled once, all right, fine. If you're fooled again, you better learn. You're fooled a third time, now it's in big trouble. So Peter says, hey, seven times? Well, if you haven't learned by the seventh time that this person is not where you should be hanging around, then that's a problem. Now, maybe you can't get out of that situation like a child, or if you're in an abusive relationship, sure, or whatever the circumstance is. But the point is, if it keeps happening, you got to get away. You got to get away. You do. It's not healthy. So Peter says up to seven times. Jesus says, I tell you, not seven. And Peter's thinking like, all right, good. Maybe only like two and then I can be done with them. And Jesus says, but 77 times. That's a lot of times. Jesus is meaning, hey, there's no limit to forgiveness. You keep forgiving all the time. No matter what happens, always forgive, always let it go. Luke 17:3 and 4. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. Always forgive. Now you say it might be really hard to do that. Yes, it is. We've talked about that. It might be really hard. One thing that might help you make it easier is if you look at them and remember, hey, it might not be them that's sinning. It could be that little lizard on their shoulder. Now, I'm not saying you're going to blame it on something else, but there's a reason that when we come to Christ, the old is gone and the new has come. We are a new creation. It's because then we become dead to the world. As we're living in this world, we are children of the devil. We might not have control over what we're doing. We might not know right from wrong. And so if someone is continually sinning, they may not know any better. And you say, yeah, they've been taught right from wrong and they're choosing to do wrong. Yes, but they could be under the control of this world or the devil. They have not been set free yet. And so it might make it easier for you to forgive them when you know they can't help it. Forgive them and then make sure they can help it and bring them to Christ. Change their life and allow them to live for God as a new creation. Now you say, well, this is all crazy. How do we know? Well, Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 17. It's a pretty good series of verses. We'll start in, 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. That's us, humans. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it. It is the sin living in me. This is the Apostle Paul telling us this. Basically, what he's saying is, even after he came to Christ, he knows what he should be doing. Sometimes he still slips up and sins. He knows that's not what he should do, but it's the sin that is still in him that is doing it. And so think if someone doesn't have that, they don't know. The sin that's living in them is fully living in them. There's no battle because the sin has taken over. So it might make it easier for you to forgive if you grasp that. And then even if someone does know the difference, they are a follower of Christ, you can still forgive them because you know it's the sin in them that does it. Now that doesn't mean we shouldn't be taking responsibility for our actions. We definitely should. This is on a forgiveness side. Forgive because God forgave you, and forgive so you can be forgiven. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this message, this great sermon series about forgiveness. I ask that it would reach more people, that it would touch them and change their lives, and that we could go through life in this world forgiving others and really trying hard to not do wrong, that we would confess our sins, that we would let things go, that we would all live with this freedom about us, this weights off of us, with no knives in our hands, without the sickness ruining our bodies and our souls. Lord, that we would continue to pray for each other, that we would confess with each other, that we wouldn't be ashamed, because guess what? We've all sinned. And Lord, that they would forgive as you forgave, out of love, and that they would seek you each and every day and seek your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again for being with us. Please, if you haven't, hit the subscribe button and follow us on social media. God bless.